All right, what you need to know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. We have a guy who's a collector on the line. We'll get to him in a second. He's going to explain NBA Top Shot to us in a sec. But first, Greg, give us what you got real quick.
So J.J. Watt has ended his free agency. He is going to sign with the Arizona Cardinals, shockingly, for a two-year, $31 million contract. And Scott, that's $23 million guaranteed. What does that do to the NFC West?
Well, I'm going to start off by saying I'm shocked. I mean, I am totally shocked that J.J. Watt went to Arizona. I don't have an idea if that's maybe where his offseason home is. I know a lot of NFL players make that their offseason home. Mm-hmm. But to me, if you're chasing a championship, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, maybe even Cleveland present a championship caliber chance. And Arizona is the fourth team in the NFC West. And so I'm...
Are they?
I think so. I mean,
you know, I don't know. First of all, he's going back to play with one of his former teammates in DeAndre Hopkins. So there's that. Second of all, I think Kyler Murray has a real decent shot of eventually becoming the best quarterback in that division. I think that he can kind of go toe to toe with anybody in that division. You know, maybe not Russell Wilson every time he goes up against him, but he split two games with him, and I thought he played well in those games.
I guess what I'm saying, though, is that when you look at their, you know, this past season, are they up and coming? Sure, I think so. Is Kyler Murray on the verge of becoming a star? I think so. Yeah. But when I look at the division as it currently sits, I think Arizona is a 3-4 team in the division, and more often than not, a four. You tell me, were you surprised that he went to Arizona?
I mean, I was surprised, but I could understand it. I like the fit. They have Chandler Jones, right, who on one side. Now they have J.J. Watt on the other side in a division with a bunch of quarterbacks, right? Like, you got Russell, in theory, if he's there. you know, Stafford is a good quarterback. The Niners, if it's not Garoppolo, are probably going to find themselves another good quarterback, right, to replace him. So, it's a tough division. You got to load up as best you can, because it is the most challenging and most daunting division in the sport.
But let me just say this about J.J. Watt. I look at this deal, $23 million guaranteed, 2 years, $31 million, and I think to myself, when he was let go by Houston, he was owed $19 million this upcoming year. And I thought to myself, well, no one's going to pay him anywhere near that.
Right.
And yet Arizona did pay him near that. And so for me, as much as we can sit here and try and break down the football part of it, like, was he thinking they could win? Does he think Arizona's on the verge? Does he think Kyler Murray's an up-and-coming star and they're about to take over the NFC West? All of the football stuff aside, in the final analysis, it kind of looks like J.J. Watt went where they paid him the most money.
Right.
And when you're at the end of your career and this could be your last contract, maybe you're thinking more about collect as much as you can rather than winning is my priority in life.
Well, because, right, he can get one more deal, and then in year three, if he is not as good a player, somebody will sign him. Like, a veteran team that needs a situational pass rusher will sign him. So I think, you know, look, get as much as you can get, man, especially in professional sports, especially in football, where they, you know, chew you up and spit you out as soon as you're done, you know?
Like, I am all for get as much as you can get, as quickly as you can get it. The only thing I would say is when you've already made a ton of money,
I just thought
pursuing a championship was what was left, you know?
I don't know. Maybe he has bigger aspirations than whatever financial nest egg he's already accumulated. Maybe he wants to start a big company, a tech company. Maybe he wants to be an NBA Top Shot, entrepreneur. Who the hell knows?
Perhaps, or how about this? Maybe he wants to live in a warm weather environment, play in a place where, you know, you look around the rest of the division, you'll play in LA, which is indoors. Yeah. You'll play in Seattle, where you may have to deal with some weather. You'll play in San Francisco, maybe a little bit of weather. But generally speaking, it's like, hey, I want to live in Arizona. I want to live where it's warm. I want to live where maybe his off-season home is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. Before we get back to the Lakers, and thanks to Frank Vogel, who joined us earlier. If you missed Frank Vogel earlier, subscribe to the podcast, the Sedano, LZ, and Cap podcast on ESPN's app, on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. All right. So Jonas is in Manhattan Beach. He's a collector, and he's going to try to explain NBA Top Shot to us real quick. Go ahead, Jonas.
Hey, everyone. I kind of laugh because the blockchain Ethereum world has exploded in the mainstream. And so when I turn on 710 radio to hear you guys talking about it, I almost fall over. We've been doing this for a few years, and what's amazing is that NFTs have just taken off in the last, 30 to 60 days. And it has everyone talking like you guys on the radio about it. And here's the deal. What makes something digital worth money? And I would go backwards and say, well, what makes the Mona Lisa worth money? It's three things. It's velocity. How many people actually know about the Mona Lisa? It's scarcity. How many are there? And it's trust. And there's a small problem with the Mona Lisa, because some people think that the actual Mona Lisa isn't really real, that it may be buried in the bottom of the Louvre. And so the blockchain stops all that kind of questioning, because it literally only makes one unique or one of a thousand unique objects. And that's what everyone's trading, and that's why it's taken off.
Right. Yeah, but the scarcity and the uniqueness of it. Right.
Well, first of all, can you define for everybody that's listening right now, NFT? We all know what NFL stands for, but what's the T after the football?
No.
Yeah, it's a non-fungible token. And simply what that means is a Bitcoin is a fungible token. You can break it up into 18 decimals. Non-fungible means you can't break it or separate it. And the whole reason they made these is because you can't rip apart, say, a video play of LeBron, or you can't take apart a trading card, right? And so it's built, the Ethereum platform enabled what's called a smart contract. And to make it really simple, I don't want to get too techie. It's basically saying, this is the best part. Hey, NBA, you've got all these great assets, or hey, Warner Brothers, or hey, whoever with good IP. Take your asset, make a unique digital piece of it, and then push it out. And not only is the NBA going to make money on the first sale, but they're going to make money in perpetuity as that asset moves to the next person, and so on for life. So somebody like LeBron and NBA Top Shots is a great example. They're getting a piece of every sale forever. And that is a game changer, because it's the first time IP can be monetized beyond the first sale.
And also, all of this, from what you're saying, is all on blockchain, so everybody knows who the original owner was,
and who the next owner is, et cetera, et cetera.
And yes. So blockchain technology therefore comes in to play, because blockchain is supposed to be, from what I know of it, you know, this scorecard, if you will, so that, in other words, if you bought a house and the government came walking in one day and said, hey, get out. You said, no, this is my house. And they said, well, where's your paperwork? And you said, I don't have it. Blockchain is the paperwork forever. Like, you'll never have to have paperwork. It'll all be on blockchain. Do I have this right?
Oh, God, you nailed it perfectly. And kind of reverse that a little bit. A lot of, especially in developing nations, where if you owned a home or a farm for 200, 300 years in your family, and then the government walks up one day and goes, oh, that's our farm. And you're like, well, wait a minute. We've been here for 300 years. And the government goes, no, because someone in the back office just wrote a piece of paper and said that the government actually owns it, so they can take it. And this is why blockchain and all this is very good and bad, if you will. It's good for the world, and it's bad for the corrupt part of the world. Because at some point, the corrupt people won't have a place to do what they do normally. And so let's go back to sports collectibles is a perfect example. And I use this term a lot, before blockchain and after blockchain, right? Anything before blockchain, we have zero clue where the origin started. I mean, if Pete Rose signed a baseball card today in front of you, and then you sold it to somebody else, you have no idea if it really was a Pete Rose card. Blockchain can now change that. And not only that, they can give Pete Rose money beyond that first sale. And somebody like Pete Rose, I use him as an example in this all the time. It's because a lot of these players have been, you know, people have profited off of them for years and years and years,
yeah,
and with the NCAA and all this stuff. And so blockchain finally puts a level playing field for IP ownership. And as long as it's done correctly, I love NBA Top Shots. There's a small hitch to their plan. I don't want to get into in too much detail right now. But once it becomes a pure blockchain public ledger, it already is changing the way the world talks about it, but it's going to be that much better pretty soon.
Well, I do think it's interesting, Jonas, and thank you. Is it Jonas or Jonas?
Jonas.
Okay. So what I think is interesting is you brought up something that I've been a big proponent of, is like the NCAA, right, with their issues with name, image, and likeness. This could solve some of those issues for them, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I came from the studio system, and I've always it's really simple. Disney or NBA, their job is simply monetize, and make everyone happy underneath us, right? And if you are a leader in your field like the NBA, and you can say, I own the rights to this, and I'm only going to do the following. I'm only going to make 100 LeBrons or 100 this, and I've done my deal with LeBron. It's all on a smart contract, meaning that it's done. It's immutable. It's indelible. It is 100% in perpetuity going to change, or not going to change. And so players can't get screwed. Sorry to use that in the air. Players
no, you're good.
They cannot get manipulated. They cannot be, money can't be stolen from them for the first time. So as long as they're comfortable with the deal they negotiated going in, they're always going to see money, because in real time, when a digital asset is sold, say LeBron gets 2% or 4% of the deal, it instantly transfers into his wallet at that moment in time. There's no middleman. There's nobody to take the money and then say, oh, there was a 30-day hold, or we've got to take care of some expenses before we pay you. It is 100% indelible and immutable right at that moment in time. And that is the beauty of it, because everybody in the ecosystem gets paid. And who does that scare? It scares the middlemen. And the middlemen have no value anymore in this new ecosystem. And that's why you'll see pushback from it. I don't want to get into who the middlemen are, but you can imagine
how many especially people in make that their world. Money. Right.
Exactly right. Exactly.
You know
right.
What's amazing about this conversation, and by the way, you brought it up from the beginning, Jonas, is that when you turn on 710, we're talking about basketball, but basketball turned into digital currency and non-fungible tokens and blockchain conversation. And I swear to you, gentlemen, and everybody who's listening, 2 years ago, when I was first learning about this, actually it was 2018. When I was first learning about this, or first hearing about blockchain and Bitcoin, if you talk to anybody about this stuff, they literally looked at you like you had three heads. Like, don't even tell me about cryptocurrency. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It'll never replace money. Don't tell me about the democratization of money, etc. And 3 years later, literally, Bitcoin is every bit of as prominent on CNBC as you're watching the market as the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So it's come that far.
And Mark Cuban did a great podcast the other day, like 2 days ago, that if you guys can tune in, and I can't remember the exact where it came from, but Cuban, he's really interesting, because he's not a fan of Bitcoin being a global currency. And so a lot of people call him he's kind of like an anti, crypto guy or blockchain or whatever you want
to
call
it. He's an investor in all that stuff.
He is, right. So he loves the fact that we can finally make a uniform, equal playing level field for the player, the owner, the league, and the IP holder in general. And so he is really, it's like an hour long podcast. You should turn it on at some point. But Mark Cuban gets it. And between Mark and between what you just said about the world all of a sudden going Bitcoin. One quick note, Bitcoin is what's called a dApp, right? And it's a decentralized app. Just so like on your iPhone, you download an app. Bitcoin is simply a dApp on a blockchain. A LeBron James dunk is a dApp on the blockchain. The blockchain is just simple technology, very basic, very open source. Anybody can actually copy a blockchain and put it on the computer and have fun with it. It's how you execute it. And that's why NBA Top Shots has done a decent job of getting the regular Joe, if you will, to play in that world, to actually touch and understand a little bit about blockchain. So the future is wide open. And again, if you guys are talking about it, I just laugh. I'm like, wow, we have come.
This is where it's come to. I know, it's crazy. Real quick story for you, really quick. So I got this, I had this guy, he was a CBS cameraman, George, and I would work with this guy on occasion when I was doing CBS NFL football games, right? And this guy would send me texts. He's like, hey, man, I listen to your podcast and you're really keeping me going and I've hit hard times and I'm down on my luck and everything else. This guy sent me a message the other day And he said, you're talking to the newest Bitcoin millionaire. So imagine this. You could have had just a couple of bucks, man, and somebody may have convinced you, hey, this Bitcoin's going to be huge. And you go, I don't know, but I'll give it a shot because I don't have to buy one Bitcoin for $30,000. I can buy a piece of a piece of a piece. And this guy sent me a message the other day. I'm a Bitcoin millionaire. And he started with just a couple $100, dude. Isn't that insane?
Well, that's how I got started. I'll give you a quick, yeah. I'll give you, and Jonas, thank you for your time,
great
dude.
Call,
like,
Jonas.
You've been like a guest, basically.
Good job, man.
But I got started the same way. I had an offshore gambling account a while back, and they were closing because they weren't allowed to function in the U.S. anymore. And because I only, you know, I was betting $10 on a game, they wouldn't, if you'd have over $1,000 in the account, if it was just a couple $100, the only way they would send you the money is via Bitcoin. So I was like, all right, cool, whatever. So I opened this Bitcoin wallet. I left the money in there for months. And all of a sudden, you know, like $400 turned into like almost $900. And I was like, whoa. And that's where it caught my attention. So to your point, yeah, that's usually how it works. You just kind of fall into it by happenstance.
I cannot tell you how many rooms I got laughed out of or how many dinners I got laughed out of with folks that 3 years later are saying to me, dude, well, you guys were kind of ahead of your time because I just bought some Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jonas, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And thank you for listening.
Great call, man. That was a great call.
Yeah. All right. You know what? We didn't talk any Lakers. We were supposed to do that. But we did solve the NBA Top Shot riddle. So there's that.
I definitely feel like I know more.
All right. So coming up next, the Lakers have won two in a row. Cap is still on an emotional roller coaster here. And I think Steph may have taken a shot at LeBron. We'll get to all that coming up in 3 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let me tell you, Morales, you just don't like Bitcoin because all you do is you spend your time smoking cigars, all right, drinking the vino, and playing golf and listening to this damn station all day long. That's really your issue. It's not our fault that your portfolio isn't headed in the right direction and it's not technologically sound, you know?
Hey, listen, here's
what I think.
We're
trying to help the audience here. The audience, this is the wave of the future, whether people like it or not, and there's going to be resistance to all this digital, all these digital assets. But at the end of the day, you know, it's like the internet. You know, a lot of people were opposed to the internet in 1994, but the internet's here, and it's, you know, for better or worse sometimes. So, like, you know, you either get on the train or you get left behind. That's the reality of life.
I also think that people are driving around right now and they're tuning in and they go, hey, I tune into 710 because I'm interested in this interview with Frank Vogel. Okay, cool. But people have interests that are outside of just the Lakers or the Dodgers or J.J. Watt signing with Arizona or Drew Brees possibly coming back. And this is the kind of stuff that right now, people are talking about. I mean, it's really, really relevant stuff. And by the way, we sound so freaking smart. Like, we don't really know for sure if we know what we're talking about, but gosh, we sound smart.
Yeah. I mean, sort of.
I mean, even if you're faking it. I mean, just the word democratization when it comes to Bitcoin just makes you sound like you know what you're talking about, even if you don't.
That is true, yeah. But we can't talk about the Lakers, too, though. There is
that.
By the way,
let's
this portion of the show is presented by Lyman Health Plan, changing healthcare one person at a time. So Steph Curry made some comments yesterday that I thought were interesting. And I say this because I feel like him and LeBron have this passive-aggressive relationship where I think that as human beings, they like each other. But because they've been such competitors for so long, I think that this becomes like they become the bane of each other's existence. And because think about it, if you're LeBron, okay, like let me just kind of take you into the mind of what I would imagine LeBron must have felt like. LeBron goes to Miami, right, to win championships. He does win two. He goes to four straight finals. Dwayne Wade's knees give out a little bit. Chris Bosh, you know, not as young as he once was. He goes and basically reboots that in Cleveland with two younger versions of what he thought were the guys he had previously, right, in Kyrie and Kevin Love. Not exactly, but I guess sort of. So he goes to Cleveland. He assumed he was going to clean up and win a bunch more championships because it was his time to reign. And then out of nowhere, the Warriors come, right? and they win 73 games. And, you know, or actually the year before that, they won the championship, right? So out of nowhere they come, they win this championship. LeBron's team's falling apart because Kyrie gets hurt. Love is hurt. He's basically playing with Matthew Dellavedova as his second best player out there, right? And then, you know, he gets the 1-16, but then KD comes, right? So he looks at Steph as kind of like this impediment, right? Like this guy, this 6'4 dude who's a great shooter, who's the greatest shooter of all time, who, you know, the people are out here in 2016 saying that Steph may be the best player in the game. LeBron clearly took that personally. So, like that's just the LeBron aspect of it. And maybe I'm wrong, but I would think that's only human to think that way, okay? But I don't, but I'll tell you this, I don't believe I'm wrong when I say that, okay? Although I am projecting some of that is stuff that I know from people that do know LeBron way better than I do, and some of that is me projecting. But it's an educated projection, is the way I would put it, Scott Kaplan.
You're saying that Steph took a shot at LeBron
yesterday.
when he said blank.
When he said teams still want to beat us, as in the Warriors, and beat us bad. They still have a lot of memories from the last 5 years. And mm-hmm. he's talking about the 5-year run of the Warriors where they went to the finals for 5 straight seasons. Mm-hmm. And he's right too, by the way. Because that's what happens when you're a marked team. By the way, teams still wanted to whoop the Lakers' asses in those 6 or 7 years where they were awful, right? And because they're the Lakers. And that's what happens when you become really good and you win championships, multiple. Teams want to beat you down. You become the hunted, not the hunters anymore.
Okay, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to specifically talk about Steph Curry and LeBron James and call it the Warriors and the Lakers. If Steph Curry thinks that LeBron James and the Lakers really, really want to take it to the Warriors like they did yesterday, 117-91. If Steph Curry thinks that LeBron and the Lakers really want to take it to the Warriors because of the KD years and the 5 straight championships and finals, I'm going to say to Steph, dude, maybe if you're talking about the Sacramento Kings who are like, hey, they're weakened and they're down, we can get them. Really, you think that the Lakers and LeBron really want Steph and Golden State because of those years? I mean, really?
Yes. You think LeBron doesn't? LeBron, in his mind, should have at least 2 more titles. There's no question. The Warriors, Scott Kaplan, came out of nowhere. Nobody saw them coming like this. Okay, LeBron lost to the Spurs, okay, after beating them the year before, and then he realized the Spurs are getting old. There's nobody in my way now. And boom, here comes Steph Curry and the Warriors, and that's it. Like, that changed everything. And then KD came and changed it even more.
Right, but KD's gone and Klay's hurt. And,
it doesn't matter.
And the Warriors are no longer the Warriors. And
it doesn't
so you're
matter.
Telling me that you think these guys, the Lakers, like again, if
not the Lakers, it's LeBron.
You think LeBron? I just want to make
yes.
sure I'm clear because I don't agree with Steph. Okay, you're telling me you've got much more insider info. I'm calling this on the outsider looking in perspective. That LeBron James really wanted to take it to Golden State last night, not because Golden State won the last time these two teams played, but rather he's still pissed because they created a super team after LeBron had created a super team.
Dude, what I'm telling you is this. LeBron doesn't forget. Like, LeBron, he views those years of the Warriors and says, I should have won those championships. This team came out of the blue, and I got screwed, right? Like, they had a cheat code, particularly when they got KD those couple of years. So that's the way he looks at it. Yes, I would. And by the way, Steph is right. When you're good, people want to knock your ass off.
Of course.
Hold on. You don't think that people looked at the Patriots this year and said, we want to rub their mother bleeping faces in the dirt. I don't give a rat's ass that Tom Brady's not here. We just want to pound the Patriots. You don't think that happened? Come on, man.
Hold on. Yes. I think if you're the Buffalo Bills.
That's the same thing.
If you're the Miami Dolphins. Well, no. But you're saying it's just one player. I'm saying that if you're the Miami Dolphins or you're the Buffalo Bills and for all these years you had no chance and now Tom Brady's not around anymore and a whole bunch of guys opted out and the Patriots are weakened, yeah, you'd really like to beat those guys. What I'm saying is that if it's Milwaukee,
Yes.
If it's Sacramento.
Yes. Because you know what? Okay. Because here's the thing, Scott. When KD was there specifically, they went out there. The Warriors were dancing, literally dancing on people's graves as they were kicking their ass. Because everyone knew that they had no chance against them, barring injury, which is what happened with Toronto, right? Like, that was just a perfect storm of Klay getting hurt and KD getting hurt and all that stuff happening. But had they just been healthy, they would have continued to run rampant and roughshod across the entire league. And that is Steph's point, is that teams are going out there when they beat the Warriors, now they want to rub it in their face because that's what they did. You know, Steph doing his, shimmying when he hits the three, and KD dancing, and Draymond hooping and hollering, and Klay kind of doing his thing. They don't forget that stuff, dude. Like, that stuff gets taken very personally, dude. I'm telling you.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I hear what you're saying. I hear where you're coming from. But what I'm saying is that, to me, LeBron is the guy that everybody's going after. The Lakers are the team and the franchise that everybody's going after.
Sure, Scott, but multiple things can be true at the same time is what I'm telling you.
I feel you. But what I'm saying is I'm just surprised, okay, that Steph comes out and says, oh, you know, look, it's just because they just all want to pound on us. Okay, they all want to take their shots. You guys are down. You're hurt. You don't have KD. Klay's been out. This is the second straight year. Steph's great, but he's not carrying the team to a championship contention of any kind. You still have Kerr, who's sitting on the bench, but he's not the coach that he was a few years ago when he had all that talent. So it just seems odd to me that they are an injured animal. They are not at full strength. So why everybody wants to take so much pleasure in beating a team?
Why did everyone take so much pleasure beating the Patriots? Like, you don't understand that? Like, you just said you understood it.
I'm saying to you
that Patriots are not anywhere near the team they were with Tom Brady, but everyone loved kicking their ass this year.
Not even close. You know, you say that, and I really never even thought that much about it during the NFL season. Like, wow, everybody's just taking this pleasure in beating up on the Patriots. I did take a lot in. I bet you everybody's enjoying watching Tom Brady succeed while watching Belichick without him. But yeah, I'm just surprised that Steph feels this way.
Yeah,
again, it's not true. It's just that if it were Milwaukee or Sacramento or Philadelphia, I would understand it. Not the Lakers.
Yeah, I know, but it's not. You're missing the point on this. It's not.
You really want to be right, huh?
No, dude, you're just missing the point is what I'm telling you. LeBron takes that personally. Yes, LeBron does. And LeBron is the Lakers right now. Understands that?
Yeah, I think LeBron should get over it. I think LeBron should be concentrating on this year and winning another championship. If he's that upset about missing a couple along the way, win another
okay.
one.
Okay, I mean, thanks, Captain Obvious. But here's the thing. Like, of course he wants to win another championship. That isn't wanting to bust the brakes off of Steph and the Warriors doesn't change that.
No, I'm not suggesting it does change that. I'm just saying that this is how this conversation began. I'm surprised that Steph Curry would say that, not about other teams in the NBA, but about the Lakers.
Do you think, so let me do this to you very simply, okay? Let's just make this very simple, okay? If somebody kicked your ass, right? When you knew you were, let's do this in radio terms, okay? You are the best host in town. There's no question, everyone knows that you are the singular best talent there is. But there is an ensemble show, right, that is putting up better numbers. Now, individually, those people may not be better than you, right? But they are winning. And they're winning in ways that you are helpless, okay? That wouldn't rub you the wrong way?
All right, hold on a second. You know what?
Answer that on the other side. Answer it on the other side.
Let me marinate.
I got to go to break. All right, and I also got to talk about, do I do first five here, or do you want me to do it on the other side? Okay, the other side. Greg says do it on the other side. So we'll do that. We're going to break for 2 minutes. Scott's going to marinate. We'll open up the phones at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. As you've listened, how do you feel about what Steph said? Do you believe that's directed at LeBron? Because I think it is absolutely directed at LeBron. And doesn't mean it's not directed at the rest of the league, but it is directed at LeBron, I think. All right, 877-710-ESPN. 710 ESPN, back in 2.5 minutes. I like to be right a lot. I think everyone understands that.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I just got a funny text.
Are you going to tell us about it? Or are you just going to laugh
yes,
about it?
Yes, I'm going to laugh because it's about you, but it's really funny.
Okay, who's it from?
It's from Nikki Kay, who works at Spectrum, the news channel. Spectrum, okay. Is it Spectrum One, I believe, is what it is, Greg?
Yes, what Spectrum One.
Where Kelvin Washington works too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She texts me. She says, despite all the things you've been heated about on this show, the most egregious, cringeworthy statement was Scott saying that he's learned how to dance from Cody at Peloton.
Now, hold on a second here. Now look. Don't knock it till you try it is all I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. Cody can rock it out. You know, and by the way, George, let me say this to you. You ready? You know what Cody's favorite show is right now and his favorite artist?
But she did add that she almost spit out her drink while she was driving, because if you don't know who Cody is, make sure you look him up.
Okay. So here's the thing. This guy's, he thinks the greatest artist in the history of recording is Britney Spears. Uh-huh. And I know you watched that documentary. I haven't gotten to that documentary.
Yeah. Great job.
Yep. Hey, Cody, you got the moves, my brother. True.
By the way, in the meantime, I'm going to give people just an idea of what's been going on my text messages, since I'm already talking about text messages. Steve Mason has been texting me. So basically, long story short, Steve Mason, Trudell, and a bunch of guys were all in the same fantasy league together, basketball fantasy league, Scott. And Mace always makes really bad deals. He just does. I actually made him a deal that, yeah, maybe I fleeced him a little bit, but I was making him a deal to give him two great players to just go all in, right? In Karl Anthony Towns and Chris Paul. He then trades Karl Anthony Towns and Bradley Beal for a broken Kevin Durant. And his thing is, well, Kevin Durant, I could keep him for a third rounder, and he's a first round guy. And I'm like, you traded two first round guys in Bradley Beal and Karl Anthony Towns for a guy who may never play a full 82 again. What the hell is wrong with you? This is why we know you in fantasy as last place Mace.
I decided to play fantasy basketball this year for the very first time in my life. And by the way, just so you understand, I'm not a fantasy football player. Everybody on the planet plays fantasy football, and I'm the one guy you know that doesn't play fantasy football. So right. I joined this fantasy basketball league this year with the intention of like knowing the entire league back and forth, knowing who all these obscure players are. And you know what happened, George? I wound up taking my fantasy team, giving the keys to my 20-year-old son who loves fantasy sports, and I said, here, you run the team. So I always am getting communication from the people in my league, like, Kaplan, get ready. You're getting ready to take on the first-place team. And then I got to call my son and go, yo, did you set the lineup? Don't forget to set the lineup, because if we don't set the lineup, they call me telling me I'm a jerk. So, yeah, I haven't been able to get into it. I don't have the attention span for it.
You know what George just did, by the way, for the first time ever on the radio? He admitted that he fleeced Steve Mason. I'm very happy that you at least finally did that. Because you did.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Mason really, really quickly, George, I don't know, did you get a chance to hear Mason's story earlier today?
Because Mason has been texting me for the last 2 hours asking me if he made the right trade.
Okay, listen to this story real quick.
Yeah.
Mason is telling the story on the air, and here's how he's telling it. I'm not so sure I should tell this story. And of course, everybody on the show is like, well, once you said that, now we got to know. So Mason tells the story how he goes to a place yesterday, like a CVS or someplace like that. And over the PA system in the store, they tell everybody, excuse me, shoppers. Yeah, look, we have 8 vaccines available right now. And if we don't give them to somebody, we're going to throw them out. So Mason and his boyfriend decided to go sit down and get vaccinated. Okay. But he felt guilty about being vaccinated because he wasn't like of the age or he wasn't of a certain profession. But he shouldn't have felt guilty because if they're offering the vaccine and if they don't use it, they're going to throw it away. The sooner more people are vaccinated, the sooner life can go back to some form of what we knew as normality.
Yeah.
And so I said to Mason off air, I said, Mason, what are you acting like what you did was like a selfish move? It wasn't selfish. It was selfless. And it's got me thinking. I know a lot of people that have picked up a vaccination at the end of the day because they were in the right place at the right time. Sounded pretty smart to me.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I it's actually to your point. Scientists, doctors, epidemiologists, all these people do say what you just said, that if you happen to come across a vaccine, they do, after a while, they will have to throw them away because of the way they need to be stored, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So instead of it not getting used, absolutely someone should take that. And even if they're not someone of age and or in the right profession or whatever, because again, they're throwing it away. Why let it go to waste the point. It's not like you're cutting the line. You won the lottery, basically.
Yep.
You just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
That's exactly
this wasn't you. This wasn't like the – so the Milwaukee Bucks owner, his son, was like literally doing the opposite of that. He got into a lot of trouble because he was like in this line with a bunch of old people. Basically like trying to get the vaccine in Wisconsin or whatever. And that's different. But if you're at the CVS and they announce it over the speaker, hey, we got 8 left. If you want it, here it is, because we got to toss them out. And you want to get the vaccine, go ahead and do it. I don't think anyone – I'll open it up to the phones and people if they want to chime in on that at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also, if you think Steph was taking a shot at LeBron when he said this, quote, teams still want to beat us and beat us bad. They still have a lot of memories from the last 5 years, right after the loss to the Lakers, where the Lakers beat the brakes off them. Feel free to hit us up. And if you buy my theory that if I'm LeBron, I look at Steph and I'm annoyed by him because I feel like he stole some of my championships, 877-710-ESPN. But
and
Laura,
if you think,
I'll ask
by
you.
The way, wait, if you think, by the way, that there's just a little too much mind reading going on here, if you think that there's just too much of trying to get into LeBron's head on this one, if you think that the Lakers don't look at the Warriors, certainly this team, that way, that's the other side of that debate.
You're focusing on the Lakers, like the 17-18 championship Lakers. I'm talking about right now, okay?
Yeah.
LeBron
no, so
versus Steph, the two most popular players in the league by far. It's not even close, okay? I'm telling you because I've seen the metrics, okay? I'm not talking out of my fanny here, which I've never used the word fanny, but I was going to say the other
Very
word.
Very nice job
then,
using fanny.
And then
I had
Greg
an
was
going to
get
fanny.
Mad if I actually said the word for buttocks that wasn't buttocks. But
no,
anyway.
Go ahead.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, I'm not talking out of my. I'm talking out of what I know. You know, like Scott, I know this league. This league is the pettiest of petty leagues, man.
I understand what you're saying. I do. I think you're right that it is. By the way, it's celebrated. The pettiness is celebrated.
100%.
Yeah.
They have become less petty, which makes it less interesting. It's better when it's more petty.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, you can yell at me all day long. You can tell me how wrong I am.
You're all wrong.
I will accept your telling me of all of this, but I will hold on to LeBron James doesn't need to look at Steph Curry that way. Other lesser teams in smaller markets that got pounded along the way, LeBron was there. LeBron was playing in those championships. So when Steph says the Lakers or LeBron's Lakers, they just want to beat us because of what happened in the last 5 years, I would think more it's like, no, we actually need to win this game because we lost 4 in a row. By the way, earlier in the season, we lost to you guys, and we need to get our stuff together as we're headed towards the All-Star break.
So that plays a role in it, too. The fact that the Warriors came back down 19 or whatever it was against this Lakers team. All that plays, I'm not dismissing that part of it either, but I am – listen, man – you know what? You still didn't answer the question that I posed to you.
What question was
that? You were the best host in town, right? You were by far the most talented individual. Mm-hmm. But if another show was out there as an ensemble and they were beating you, would it bother you? So you can answer that on the other side because we actually have to go to break again.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
No, I am not like Apollo Creed. I'm like Rocky in my Ferrari right now, driving at very high speeds, okay?
No easy way out. Great song.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Cha just tweeted me, at Joe K-Town Cha on Twitter. Christ, I can't imagine how frustrated you are with Cap right now, with like a couple of exclamation marks and a question mark. So let me ask you this. Because I have two things I want to ask, and I know we have some calls here at 877-710-ESPN that want to hop aboard on this discussion that we're having, and also the Steve Mason conversation about he happened to be at a CVS. They said over the speaker, hey, we got 8 vaccines. We're going to throw them away. If anyone wants them, let's go. And he got them, and he felt bad about it. And I'm with you, Scott. I wouldn't feel bad about it. So let's do that in a second, too, because I know people want to chime in on that as well at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. But I asked you the question, okay? I made you LeBron James, okay? That should make you feel good.
Thank you. All right?
You are the greatest individual talent, okay, in town, right? And there is another show, okay, that has good talents, very good talents, like great talents as well, but not the greatest, right, that we've ever seen, arguably.
Got it.
And they come together and join forces, and they start beating you. How are you going to react to that?
Okay, so George, look, let me just answer this question by saying that you're trying to push me into answering what you want me to answer, but
no,
I'm not
asking you to be honest.
That. Okay, here's honesty. You ready? Honesty is this. I'm one of these kinds of people, and this is what I'm saying about LeBron, that I think LeBron is focused now on what am I going to do to get what I want versus how am I going to let it linger about what happened in the past and what I didn't get. And my whole point about this entire Steph Curry thing is you're saying that Curry is taking his shot at LeBron when he says that people want to pound on us, want to beat up on Golden State because of how good we were. I'm arguing the opposite, which is if they were still that team, yeah, you'd love to beat them just the same way Utah loved beating the Lakers last week. Nobody gives them a chance to be real come the end of the season. So pounding on the Lakers is what Utah wanted to do. I don't think LeBron and the Lakers right now look at Curry and the Warriors as that team because there's no KD and there's no Klay. That's the way I see it. This really pisses you off. Listen to that moan. Listen. This is frustrating, isn't it?
What I'm saying to you, and I will go to the calls here in a second. What I'm saying to you is this, is that if they were still that team, Scott, they wouldn't get the brakes beat off them like they did yesterday. Okay? So that is an impossibility, is my point. Okay? And because that they are a wounded animal, you sweep the leg. And that's what LeBron wants to do. He's like, you know what? I ain't forgotten that you stole a couple from me, okay? That I should have had those titles, okay?
You know,
now,
you say
you
the
never
word stole
the question.
As if
you
it's entitled. You make it sound like LeBron is entitled to win every year.
He is not entitled to win, but I'm telling you his line of thinking, okay? Because I covered the league at that point, too, where he left a place where he won championships because he wanted to reboot it with younger talent. And he thought, I have a clear path here. And then a team came out of nowhere, which is why I asked you the question, and I'll ask you one more time, and I'd like if you'd actually answer it, unlike you haven't taken that stupid video we've asked you to do about dancing for 4 days. If you were the greatest singular talent, and another show who had really great talents, but not the greatest individual talent, came out and started beating you, how would that play with you in your head? It's only human nature to say that that would piss you off, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you know what I'd do about it? I'd say I'm going to go fix it. I'm going to go get better. I'm going to find a way to flip the situation. I think I'm better. I'm LeBron. I think I'm better. They won championships. They built a championship team and they won. I was in my prime. I built a team around me. I thought I was going to win. They took it. Okay, great. I'm going to continue to progress every day to get what I want, which is ultimately what he did. He came to the Lakers after winning a championship in Cleveland. He came to the Lakers and he won another championship. So I guess what I'm saying is that I just don't see why LeBron should be looking at this Warriors team or that individual player thinking he stole something that is rightfully
because
mine.
People in 2016, Scott Kaplan, were saying that Steph Curry was the best player on the planet and it was ludicrous. And he took it personally. I know he took it personally. He doesn't have to say it. We know he did. Did you see?
Hold on.
In that series, okay, that they won, all right? I'll never forget this. I can remember this bleep like it was yesterday, okay? Curry went up. He faked a left-hand layup, went up and under, tried to go around. LeBron swatted the living you-know-what out of him, and he just looked at him sideways and kind of just, like, nodded his head, like, yeah, get that freaking bleep out of here. That was personal, dude. Like, if you don't think that, you're just not watching the same game.
Okay, so I'm not, by the way. I'm not watching the same game, okay? You're watching the NBA from the court side, from the reporter perspective. You're watching it as the host of The Jump. You're watching it as a sideline commentator. You're watching it as somebody who's on the inside of the inside. So you're right. I'm not watching the same game. I'm on the outside looking in. By the way, George, I want to tell you something.
You can read body language. You're good at it.
Yeah, but listen, this all gets back to what you were saying, which is that Curry is taking his shot at LeBron. And you asked me the question, if I were in a situation where I were the number one guy in all of LA radio, but there was another show across town that was winning in the ratings, how upset would I be? I'd be pissed. But you know what I do? I try and find a way to fix it. LeBron has tried to find a way to fix it. That's what you do. You move forward. You progress. You
right,
go
but
out
it doesn't
and get
mean
what
that,
you want.
It doesn't mean that every time you get a chance to rub their nose in the sand or the dirt that you wouldn't. Let me go to Aaron in Costa Mesa. Aaron.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Hey.
All right. So, I mean, Captain, you're coming at it from a completely mature perspective. You know, you're acting like these guys aren't the most competitive, you know, top of the food chain. LeBron wants to be the best. Steph wants to be the best. And unfortunately, I have to side with Sedano here. You know, these guys are absolutely going to take shots at one another. With social media these days, you know they're looking at their phones. You know they're engaged. You know they know what's going on out there. And you know that if LeBron gets a shot to take it, Steph doesn't have any shots he can take at LeBron these days. So he's going to take it when he can get it, basically saying, hey, these last 5 years, I was at the top. Regardless of what's going on now, I still was at the top. I still beat you. And LeBron's going to obviously – he knows that, and he's going to take that. So, unfortunately, I think, yeah, that's a mature perspective for LeBron to just go head down, but I just don't think that's the case for human nature.
Correct, right. And you nailed it because of the ultra-competitive nature of
okay.
it.
Okay, all sounds fair enough to me. Now go to the next call, because I know I'm not alone on this.
Guy agrees with you. Izzo,
yeah, sneak
in
one
Valencia.
In. Yep.
Yes, hello. How are you guys doing?
What's up, Izzo? Hello. Talk to us, brother.
Listen, Kaplan, I'm right behind you, man. LeBron played, I think it was 28 minutes or less yesterday.
24.
I think if LeBron wanted to put it into anybody's face, he would have got back on the court at the end of the third quarter.
Are you out of your mind?
And put their noses in it. LeBron and Steph have so much respect for each other. It's ridiculous. They're at the top of their game. They both respect each other
Izzo,
to the fullest.
Izzo,
no
Izzo.
One's trying to put anybody's face in anything.
Izzo, you have zero idea what you're talking about, is what I'm telling you.
You're onto something here, Izzo. I like what you're saying.
For you to say LeBron wants to put anybody's face into anything and then play 28 minutes or less in the game.
He played 28 minutes and he won 35 points. What the hell is he? And he hasn't rested in a month because Anthony Davis has been gone. Like he's not going to do it at the cost of breaking his body. That's not logical either.
If he wanted to put it to Steph, he would.
He's already put it to Steph. Steph wasn't even in the game.
Put Steph on the court, and they both would have went head-to-head.
Izzo.
You tell him, Izzo.
Izzo.
You tell him, man.
Steph wasn't even in the damn game anymore. Of course he's going to sit out at that point.
And neither was LeBron.
Because
they wanted to put it to each other, if they wanted to put on a show and put it to each other, they would have stayed in the game.
Oh, yeah, they would have stayed in the game in a 35-point difference of a game. That's real normal. That happens all the time in the NBA. You're right.
Listen, if LeBron...
Thanks,
oh my
Izzo.
God,
no, you're
Izzo
right.
Was really
you're right.
Sounding smart.
Because how many stars play? Greg Bergman, how many superstars stay in a game at a 30-point differential?
That'd be zero.
By the way, it was 30 points. It was a 30-point lead. I tweeted yesterday. It was like, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. I'm like, hey, LeBron, It's a 30-point lead. It's okay to hit the bench now, dude, and put on the slides. It's okay.
Yeah. Meanwhile, right. You're saying that, but now you're agreeing with Izzo, who wanted LeBron. If my theory is correct, right, that LeBron would be in the game up 30 points.
No. Here's what I liked, George. You got to understand what I liked. I enjoyed that because you're getting very fired up, which I love. But I like the fact that Izzo had gotten underneath your fingernails, because how dare he? How dare Izzo have that opinion? He don't know what he's talking about. He's not some NBA insider. How dare he? Izzo, great call.
It's not even about being an NBA insider. It's just about being a normal human being. Like, these are obvious things. Yes, they have respect for each other as human beings, clearly. But this notion that they're not passive-aggressive towards each other, based especially after the comment that Steph made yesterday, is ludicrous. All right, we got a break. We're back in 2.5 minutes.